Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. We're going to get through this whole psalm. And this psalm is a psalm that was a prayer of David, but it was also a prophecy of Christ, and it also speaks to us today. So it deals with all three of these aspects. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. And we were just singing to that effect. Preserve me. So that's the essence here. This may have been written by David when he was being pursued by Saul, or it may have been when he was being sought to be killed by his son Absalom. But in any case, the beginning here is he's putting his trust in God to keep him and preserve him as he's going to navigate through what he's going to go through. O my soul, thou hast saith unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extends not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. I find this interesting. What I see in this is that he's speaking to the Lord. It's prophetic of the Lord, but then also David going through what he was, and it can apply to us today, that the plan and will of God may have us go through certain things where there would be a self-denial and suffering on our part, but it's for the purpose of God blessing the saints. And as we read on in the psalm, what we find is it speaks of prophetically of Jesus, his soul not being left in hell, or in other words, the suffering he would go through would be for the benefit of the saints of God who are going to believe upon him. So the goodness of God wasn't just being released there for Jesus, but rather there would be a suffering in purpose for the blessing of other people. So I find that to be rather significant here, because it brings a perspective, and the whole psalm itself, you can see, is dealing with trusting God to sustain you while you're going through something, which is for the benefit of others and not self. And that was the ministry of Jesus. He was going to suffer that we could be delivered out from sin and satanic oppression and all the rest of it. He says, but their sorrows, verse 4, shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. If the people are going to look to another God, their sorrow is going to be multiplied. Salvation would be through the Lord. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen upon me in a pleasant place. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Now, these two verses speak of an inheritance in the Lord. Now, inheritance is received at the death of someone. You know, someone dies, someone else may inherit their possessions or that which they would have. And we have an inheritance from the Lord as a result of his suffering and his death. We have an inheritance. The Lord will hold fast to that, or it says maintain my lot, or he will hold on to that. It's not going to slip away. It's not going to be given to someone else. That which he has for you, he will hold fast to for you. It says the lines are fallen unto me in a pleasant place, or it's written, it's laid out that which you would have for me. God has spoken in his word of a great inheritance we have as a result of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. All the spiritual blessings been provided for us. We have salvation to our soul. We have eternal life. But then through that, we have access to the love and peace and joy of the Lord. It's part of our inheritance. Now, inheritance is available, but you would have to claim it. Now, in a legal system, you go and there's an attorney would read the will of the person who passed away, and it would say, oh, I leave to Phil Ritter, you know, my house or my car or what have you. And you leave it to that person. But if you don't show up to claim it, it was there for you, but you don't get it. So there are many a Christian who don't go to lay hold of that which would be their inheritance. That which is there, it's there for them legally. It's yours. But if you don't go and get it, you never have it. So the Lord has lifted us very much, all that we would ever need. We have a goodly, it says, heritage or inheritance. Good things, inheritance for us, good things. Now, again, I want to, as we look at that verse, refer back up to where it says that my goodness is not extending to thee. Or in other words, God didn't just set Jesus up just to have all this blessing, like to be a king and say, oh, I have it all. But rather, it was ordained for him to suffer. The goodness of God was extended or going to be released to whosoever would call upon his name, whosoever would believe, Gentile or Jew, whosoever, the saints of God, in whom is his delight. It's his pleasure, his good pleasure to bestow upon us blessing. God's not holding out. You don't have to like come begging or somehow work up to something where like, hey, God owes you now. It's his delight to bless you and to bless you with inheritance. So he says, I will bless the Lord, which has given me counsel. My rain shall instruct me in the night season, or my innermost being. I will bless the Lord. God will direct us and give us counsel. Now, again, the context of this psalm is someone who's going to go through a difficult time or suffering to navigate through that. That's the context. Preserve me, O Lord, in you I put my trust. And we see it speaks prophetically of Christ, because in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the apostle Peter quotes from this. Quite a few verses from Psalm 16. He's quoting from it and speaking of the Lord prophetically. God will bless us with counsel, or in other words, as we're navigating, or in this case, as the Lord's navigating through his suffering, he was being led by the Spirit with the counsel and wisdom of God. God wants us to be like Jesus, which is to walk in love. And in walking in love, it's not about feeling good and everybody happy, but rather it's the laying down of our life. There is a self-denial. There is a suffering for other people. Love will give its life to benefit others. And in becoming Christ-like, we begin to move into the same thing. As you are moving forward in this life and are setting yourself on that course, we must be led by the Spirit, because there are things we'll encounter. Our mind goes boing, you know, just what am I going to do with this? Or how do I walk through that? Or, Lord, are you kidding me? You want me to give of myself in this way? Yes, love. There's times that love will completely give of itself. Jesus completely gave his life. You know, we'll tend to look at love with this measurement, well, I'll give this much, like a measurement. But rather, the love of God's unlimited. And we really need to be led by the Spirit in navigating what God would lead us in our life, whereby through our suffering, our life, or our self-denial, our offering of ourself, our life bring greatest blessing to others. Now, the childish thinking is, Lord, what are you going to do for me? Well, he's given us an inheritance. He's provided everything for us. And God wants us to look beyond that, to lift up our eyes where we become like him. Lord, what am I going to do for others? I have all that I need in the inheritance in Christ. And I will bless the Lord because he will counsel or guide me and instruct me in the night season, or where I can't clearly see what's going on. He'll show me. There are times as you're navigating through life, you don't really know what's going on. What am I walking through? It's a night season. You're walking in the dark, but he'll be your light. He'll counsel you. He'll guide you. Turn left, turn right, go up, go down, start, stop. And we can just bless him for this, because we trust him. He will lead and guide us. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Where do we keep our eyes? Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I've set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Or he's at the right hand of the throne of God. And we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who represents our prayer, who represents the offering of our praise. He represents our tithe and offering. He represents the presentation of our life, the offering of our life to him as our high priest. So we will not be moved if we'll keep our eyes on him, keep our eyes set on him. He is before the throne of God, the authority of God at all times for us. Therefore, my heart is glad. Is that make you a happy boy? When you're going through the night season, when you don't understand what all you're walking through, what's going to make you a happy boy is knowing that the Lord represents you. He will guide you. And your prayer is guaranteed. He's the guarantee of the new covenant. Your prayer is heard. You can boldly come to the throne and lay hold of that inheritance. My heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall rejoice in hope. As you are walking through things and there is a challenge to your flesh, you find rest in the hope that you have, that he is before the throne for you. He provided an inheritance, and he is the guarantee. And his blood on the mercy seat of God speaks of your redemption. For thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer or allow the Holy One to see corruption. Again, Peter quoted this verse, that Jesus, who would pay the price of judgment that we deserve to pay. Don't ask for what you deserve, because you all deserve to go to hell. I deserve to go to hell. But God, who was rich in mercy, he paid the price that we needed to pay, that suffering, that torment. He took it all on himself so we don't have to. And while he is going through that, the ultimate suffering, the ultimate sacrifice, his cry to the Lord God, his Father, preserve me. In you I put my trust. And the Father sustained Jesus through hell. He can sustain you through whatever you're going through. What are you going through today? Is it a night season? God can sustain you through it all. If he took Jesus through hell for us because of love, he can take you through whatever. He is your counselor. He will guide you. Verse 11 says, he will show me the path of life. He will enable and empower you to navigate through this life. And it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. He allows us to, no matter what we're walking through, to know he is always with us. The great promise of the new covenant is that the Spirit of God would live within us. He is with us. He gives us all that we need. And because of him with us, no matter what we're going through, we have joy. The victorious person doesn't look at what he's going through, but what he's going to. We see that back in the book of Deuteronomy, and it comes out throughout the Bible. And the epitome of that was Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. That joy was not skipping down the street carrying a cross. That joy was the prospect that through the laying down of his life, through his suffering with our sin, that he could birth a family of God on the earth, and that there would be a family who would come to know the Lord with him in eternity in heaven. That was the joy set before him, as a woman would have the joy of bringing forth a new life. So she goes through the childbirth with all the pain, forgets about it, and does it again. Has another child. For the joy set before them. In his presence is fullness of joy. We have access to the joy of the Lord because he is with us. Or that in doing the will of God, it is a pleasure. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore, it says. And again, Peter quoted that relative to Jesus, and it applies to us. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord's our strength. There is a strength to do the will of God. Don't ever say, I can't do it. The power of God's been given to us. The Holy Ghost is our helper. We can do it by him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's the one who strengthens us to do the will of God. And as we continue forward in the plan of God for our life, we begin to learn the love of God and to live the love life. Jesus said, I give you this commandment, you love one another, that your joy might be full. It is in the living the life of giving your life is where the greater joy is. It's not in going to a happy place. It's not in doing fun things. It's not doing the things that give pleasure to the flesh. But rather, the fullness of joy is living a life of giving. God so loved, he gave. The love life's not some emotional thing. It's not about feelings. In fact, there's a lot of self-denials. There's suffering involved at times. But it's in the life of giving, living that life. He'll lead us to walk out that life, the life of giving. It's a very simple life. And all that we do and those who are around, you consider, how can I bless? How can I bless? How can I give? And that's where you'll find the secret of the joy of the Lord. And you become a person that no matter what the Lord's plan would be for you, you have the strength, you have what it needs to do it and to walk through it and to navigate through it. That will show me the path of life. The Lord's going to show us to walk. I expect Him to lead and guide me. I expect for Him to lead and guide you. My expectation is to encounter, to experience Him in His presence, His fullness of joy. We can have that as a believer because He lives in us. Then He calls us together as a church, as a people, where in Ephesians it says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, both personally and corporately. And when we come together and bring our praises to God, He inhabits the praise of His people. As Psalm 22, verse 3, He inhabits the praise of His people. His presence fills that. We can experience His presence to an even greater degree. Oh, I love to come to church. I love to be in the place He's called me to be, with the people He's called me to be with, gathering together in His name to worship and glorify Him. And my expectation, my desire is to walk into, to step into and partake of the presence of God. In that there's fullness of joy. We experience a measure of that on earth, and we have eternity in heaven to look forward to in a far greater degree. That which we can experience here is just a foretaste of that which is to come. Hallelujah. Are you ready to worship Him? And come with expectation. Don't just sing songs. Don't just do religious exercise. We're not punching a time clock for God, but we're presenting our offering of our life, our praise, our very being to Him. And say, Lord, inhabit our praise. Make known Your presence today. Lord, I set myself to love You with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Hallelujah. Let's rise and praise Him together. Hallelujah.